Question, a briefing, operation and maintenance of WDFW lands. Take it away, please.
All right. Can you hear me? There we go. Good morning, Chair, Commission, Director, Deputy Director. Cynthia Wilkerson, Lands Division Manager, here with Paul Damer, our Land Stewardship and Operations Section Manager, who, by the way, has decades more experience working on our lands than I do. So it's a rare opportunity to have him in front of you. We're here to talk about estimating operation and maintenance costs on our lands. And this is, I think everyone's aware, a pretty hot topic, having a good understanding of what it costs and what are the true costs and holistic costs of managing the lands portfolio that we have. There's obviously a lot of interest from the public, a lot of interest in the legislature. There's been a lot of Joint Legislative Audit Committee reports around the issue of our acquisitions and management. And so we've invested quite a bit over the last couple of years in trying to get a better understanding of estimating the actual cost. And you see these costs every month when you see land transactions come before you. The number that we have historically used, and Paul will get into this, is much, much lower than the actual cost of what it does cost to manage these lands. So it's basically, we're going to talk about the methodology. And the numbers themselves, to just as a point of more information for us, and we've got some good momentum in working with the legislature and OFM on how to utilize this information to improve our ability to have the funding we need to take care of our lands.
Good morning. My name is Paul Damer. I appreciate the opportunity to talk here today. Good morning, Commission Chair, Commission Director, Deputy Director. So we have, like Cynthia said, stepped back and really want to present to you what we've learned over the last couple of years and really digging into a comprehensive review of operational maintenance of our lands. The goals of the work that we've done the last couple of years is really to more accurately and comprehensively capture these O&M costs, but also to make our case to get additional dollars for operation and maintenance of our wildlife area lands. What we've learned and what I'm going to show you here today, we are using to move forward, we are using these more accurate numbers for operation and maintenance dollars that we need to request to inform the Office of Financial Management and to request these dollars in decision packages in the future as we acquire more lands. So as Cynthia said, we have been using a $13 per acre figure in the past to articulate the cost of operation and maintenance of our lands. That's accurate in the sense that what that's really representing is us looking at all of our wildlife area budgets, the on-the-ground budgets that we have allocated for our wildlife areas, summing those together, dividing by our million acres, and coming up with $13 per acre. Unfortunately, what that does not cover are several components, and the first one is that doesn't cover staff time like mine and Cynthia's. It doesn't cover our wildlife area planners. It doesn't cover our budget staff. It's simply the on-the-ground staff. Doesn't cover our archaeologists. It doesn't cover enforcement costs that are covered by our enforcement program. It does not cover additional needs on our wildlife area. So what can we be doing better? Can we be doing better weed control out there, managing and outreach to the public? And it also doesn't cover a big one, which is really our infrastructure and equipment costs on our wildlife areas. We have a huge infrastructure on our wildlife areas, fences, roads, buildings, and we really don't have funds to keep those maintained and replace that infrastructure when needed. So we've taken the opportunity to really step back and look much more closely at this, and we really were presented with an opportunity a couple of years ago because we were negotiating with Bonneville Power Administration on their O&M mitigation dollars they give to us to manage some of 8 of our wildlife areas for them to meet their mitigation requirement. And so we were looking to them to provide more dollars, and in doing that, in our negotiations with them, we spent a lot of time digging into the real costs of managing our wildlife areas. And in this particular case, I'm going to go over this table with you to tell you what we learned and what we presented to Bonneville. And quite frankly, we were successful, and they're giving us more O&M dollars for these particular 8 wildlife areas that they have responsibility for. So, and the good thing is these 8 wildlife areas that I'm going to talk about really are representative of many of most of our 33 wildlife areas across the state. So I'm going to go through this table and tell you what we learned, because it really sets the context of what our real O&M costs are. So the 8 wildlife areas that you're looking at here, I've summarized a number of acres. It's about totals about 150,000 acres, so 15% of our million-acre land portfolio. I've listed here in column 3 the amount of dollars that we're currently spending on these wildlife areas. Not what we need, but what we're currently spending, and that's Bonneville dollars as well as our own dollars that we're putting into the mix. And then in column 4, you'll see the average or the cost per acre on each of those wildlife areas. So pretty big spread here, anywhere from $7-$8 to $131. And I'll get into why there's some big differences there and the complexity of managing our wildlife areas and the O&M associated with that. But if you look at the bottom there in column 4, it's about a $20-$21 average cost per acre on these 8 wildlife areas, these mitigation wildlife areas. And you may ask, why are you showing me $20 here and you just talked to me about $13? Well, the difference actually is on our mitigation wildlife areas, we actually have more dollars to put on the ground to manage those areas because of that mitigation contribution to that management. The rest of our wildlife areas that don't get mitigation funding are limited to the available state dollar, Discover Pass, Wildlife State, and federal Pittman-Robertson dollars. So we would like to have more dollars on those lands, but we have more dollars on mitigation wildlife areas. So that column 4 really represents what we're spending now. The next 3 columns that I've highlighted in the header there in kind of a different color really talk about additional need, and I want to talk about those. What we did was we went to each individual wildlife area manager and really kind of brainstormed about what was working, what we needed more money for, where we need to do better weed control, where we've got really complex public user issues, and we need to work harder and calculated the additional goods and services and staffing that we feel we need to do the job that we are we're responsible for. And so we came up with costs for each of those wildlife areas of additional staff and additional goods and services in that column. The next additional need that we don't really have funding for now is addressing our infrastructure and equipment needs. Right now we have infrastructure that we're not maintaining adequately, so we're ending up deferring all that maintenance on our buildings and our irrigation infrastructure, and it becomes inefficient. We spend more dollars trying to patch it together or fix that roof keep that tractor running when we really should be looking at the depreciation of that infrastructure, of that equipment, looking at its lifespan, looking at the cost, figuring out the depreciation value and our maintenance costs associated with that and building that in. So that's exactly what we did in that column to talk about the costs that we would need to maintain that equipment so we don't get to a place where instead of maintaining that fence, we have to actually rebuild a fence and go to the capital budget and look for that. It's just inefficient and it's ineffective if that fence is not performing the service that it needs to perform. The last column in that kind of aquamarine color of what we additionally need and what needs to be part of this comprehensive O&M package is some components including enforcement, so the cost of enforcement on our lands, what we're currently spending and what we need to be spending with enforcement, administration, like I talked about earlier, Cynthia and myself, the planners, and in addition to that, dollars to monitor the ecological integrity of our land, to look at the base level where we are now in the integrity of our habitats and monitor that over time so we know when we're doing a good job, so we know where we have to spend more time. So if you add all those additional needs together in those three columns there to what our current budget now is, that's what the final column on the right is. It's what we're spending now and what those additional needs are. And now we get to a place where we're a range of what the need is of about $23 per acre to $223 per acre. I also want to emphasize that that is for operation and maintenance of what we've got now. It's not for enhancing our lands. That's a different issue. We go out for grants to enhance our lands through RCO, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. We go to the legislature directly to get enhancement dollars for our lands. This current biennium, we were very successful getting $5 million for forest health restoration work on our land for thinning and prescribed burning. But this summary here of those costs, annual costs per acre in the right column, is not for restoration. So with this was very eye-opening for us, and we use this to really look at the next step. So again, as I talked about earlier, the goal that we want to do is be able to really understand more thoroughly our O&M costs, but also to figure out how we would look at new acquisitions and how we would estimate more accurately, the O&M costs for those new acquisitions. So in trying to do that, we really kind of dug in and looked at what were the main drivers that were driving those costs on the wildlife areas. I talked a little bit about them earlier. And Kurt Merg, our vegetation ecologist, spent a lot of time, did some great work on this, really digging in at the individual factors and variables that contributed to these O&M costs. And what we really found were there were two main drivers. First, infrastructure. I mentioned it before. It's just huge. We have roads. We have over 1,000 miles of roads that we manage. It's our responsibility to manage on our lands. We have miles and miles of fences on our lands, signs and offices, shops, storage buildings, infrastructure, dikes. There's a large component of infrastructure and large equipment maintenance that we need to do better and cover the depreciation costs on our land. So that was the one variable that really floated to the top. The other one is management complexity on the wildlife areas. So things like, are we doing farming? Are there significant weed control issues? What's the level of public use? Do we have a lot of users that increase those costs of operation and maintenance? That was the other variable. In addition, cultural resources. We need to do a better job at managing and understanding our cultural resources on our wildlife areas, and the public has told us that. So we looked at these two variables. We went through a ranking, and we basically said, you know, we're going to look at these different wildlife areas and look at these variables and rank them from 1 to 3, each one of them. 1 being low operating costs associated with infrastructure, 3 being high, lots of fences, lots of roads, lots of buildings. And we're going to do the same thing with management complexity. So we're going to look at these lands and give them a score of 1 to 3. So when we do that, we end up with a potential range or ranking of 1 plus 1 is 2, so anywhere from 2 to 6. And so we did that, so you can end up with a score of anywhere from 2 to 6. And so I've brought this table back up and now added 2 columns on the right side because we did that for these wildlife areas. And the first two were a little bit simpler complexity wildlife areas, and they ended up with ranks of 2. And so what we did was take their the average O&M cost for them and came up with a $32 per acre management cost for wildlife areas or new acquisitions that have that level of complexity or rank. The other ones, you can see there, a couple of them came out ranking 3 at $52 per acre, some 4 at about $100 per acre is what we're spending out there. And then the 5s and 6s are really more unique situations that we're not going to have as much of, but it is interesting to see how expensive some operations are on our wildlife areas when they have lots of people, when they have lots of infrastructure. In these particular cases, they're wetland complexes that have a lot of water control structures, dikes, just very expensive. But So again, we'll use this tool for new acquisitions and looking at those new acquisitions and where they kind of fit into this ranking so we can come up with a more accurate cost per acre. But I do want to call your attention to that $52 per acre. That's where, you know, when I go and look at our full land portfolio, and if that's a representation of new lands that we'll be buying in the future, that's where I think most are going to end up, around that $52 per acre. And, you know, this, again, has been very eye-opening for all of us. It's a lot of money. It's a big figure. But I want to call your attention to, because this actually made us feel pretty good about that figure and feel pretty confident that it's a defendable figure. Back in 2004, the Center for Natural Land Management did a very comprehensive study of 28 different wildlife areas or management areas in a couple different states, and the average they came up with was $51 per acre in 2004 numbers. So we're in 2016. If you added inflation, you'd probably be up 30% to 40% above that. Back in 2007, the Independent Economic Analysis Board that was providing information to the Northwest Power and Conservation Council, because they were looking at their mitigation responsibilities and trying to articulate what the real costs are of management of those areas. They put together this study that looked at many different wildlife areas or management areas across several states, and they came up with about $48 per acre. So, and they actually, that's 2004 dollars as well, because they wanted to be able to compare it to the Center for Natural Land Management figures. So when you look at those figures, they really tell us we're in the ballpark. And so we feel pretty good about those. And again, our intent is to use these more documented, defendable figures for future acquisitions. That's the sum of my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Baker.
Thank you, Chair. So this was a good presentation. It was a good presentation in the Wildlife Committee, and it's a good presentation here. So thanks a lot, and thank you for doing all the work. However, it is a bit of a double-edged sword, because it tells us that not only can we not afford to pay for probably the land that we currently hold adequately, but perhaps we should be maybe much more judicious in acquisitions. So I'm wondering whether this update of these numbers is going to change the way you all look at what you present to us for acquisitions. And whether the numbers that you present to us for O&M are going to be kind of like the way we used to do it, or responsive to this study. And I know that our next segment is a land acquisition. So I guess if I just waited, I could know. But I'm interested in your response.
It was. Clearly strategic that we're having this presentation before the next presentation, and we've been talking about when's the right timing to transition to these new numbers. So you are going to see these new numbers today in the land transaction presentations. So we wanted you to understand where they came from and why they are so different. It's a real struggle to be able to figure out what this means in terms of our land management and land acquisition moving forward. I think the department has always been at that tension level of understanding that there's public demand for lands that could otherwise be converted, and, you know, wanting to protect the public access pieces and wanting to protect the habitat values that cannot be replaced. And so we're walking that fine line of, okay, being, you know, I would say in the last few, last several years, couple of biennium, being very much more aware and deliberate about which acquisitions we choose and which ones we say, you know what, that's not something we can do. But we do walk that line of knowing that we may be taking in something that's going to diffuse our current budget. The progress that we've made is both on, you know, in the conversations through with the legislature through JLARC and being able to communicate better what our real costs are. And also in this decision package and in the governor's budget, we were able to get some maintenance funds specifically associated with newly acquired lands in the last two biennium. That was using the old $13 an acre because that's where we were at that point. But we did put language in there saying that we're looking at the real cost, and the plan is, and we've been already we're doing this in any new acquisition proposal, like the grant proposals that go to RCO. In those budgets, we put these new numbers in them about what the O&M is, and the conversation with OFM is that we're going to be looking to, if the state is committed to buying those lands, and we are going to buy them on behalf of the people of the state, we're estimating this cost, those maintenance costs go into our maintenance budget increase in the next biennium. So again, it's a developing emerging issue, and what the actual numbers will be and how that plays out is something that we're all looking at and going to be working together to figure out the best way forward.
And I guess I would just add, we're already seeing benefits from this information. Like I said, in putting together this, we are getting more dollars from Bonneville Power Administration. They've committed to $1 million more dollars on our wildlife areas over, I guess they committed over a year ago. So for over a five-year period, they're committed to increasing stepwise dollars for our mitigation wildlife areas. We can use this when we look at additional mitigation. We'll be using these larger numbers, so we're setting ourselves up to, when we do ask for approval for acquisitions, to have these avenues to secure these greater dollars, more realistic dollars.
Thank you.
Commissioner Smith and then Commissioner Graybill.
On cultural resources, you mentioned some the public, and I wondered some of the costs that would be incurred there, because I could imagine inhabitation sites of historic or prehistoric or structures could be very expensive. I mean, what would be some of the cost of cultural resources?
Yeah, we are. It's a really eye-opening. We've been learning a lot over the last few years on cultural resources. So I don't have specific costs I can give you,
Examples of what kind of things might be costly.
So for example, when we want to do a forest health restoration project now, we need to do a survey and meet Executive Order 505 and Federal Section 6 requirements to do surveys, consult with the tribes, consult with the state office. That survey on a 500-acre acquisition or 500-acre thinning project may cost $50,000. To do that survey and consult with the tribes, we are trying to increase our capacity. We have one archaeologist that I hired 5 years ago. We're hiring another. We're doing a lot of consulting with. We have contracts with several firms that can come in and do that work. So it's expensive. It's expensive, and we don't even know the full array of cultural resources on our lands. There are some avenues to get money. So when we acquire lands, the funding sources like WWRP will allow us to set aside significant funds. As a portion of that acquisition, if we get $1 million, we can set aside a big chunk of that after the acquisition costs to manage the cultural resources, to understand and survey and find out where they are. So there are places that we can tap into certain funding sources to address this, but it is very significant.
Yeah, that might be an opportunity throughout the state to work with local universities, too.
We are actually doing that. Catherine Kelly, our archaeologist, works very closely with Eastern and Central, and they have groups that actually do consultation for us.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you.
Mr. Graybill.
Thank you for these updated numbers. They're much more real, I think. And you mentioned that in our next presentation we'll see these numbers being applied. Are these numbers included in the current budget ask that's at the legislature?
Yes.
great. All right. Thank you.
Just to clarify, Commissioner, that they are included in the O&M costs associated with the capital budgets for new acquisitions. We have our enhanced lands decision package, which took a little bite at this, not the full bite, to cover it all 1 million acres. And that, as you know, I believe it was not covered in the governor's budget. So there's a difference between moving forward and trying to figure out what we can do with what we have now. That makes sense.
Joe Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I sit on the Recreation Conservation Funding Board for Director Suswind, and we've had a number of discussions around O&M and what do we do to take care of those needs. I'm not sure it's always – I'm not sure we're looking at the full picture when we look at what's the cost for this year and next year of biennium versus what do we have in the budgets. When you talk about these investments that we're making, they're not making any more land, and we have a lot of people coming into the state, population doubling every 30 or 40 years. And so the value of this portfolio over time, the value of that land is only going to increase. And so if you're – so I don't know how to make it an apples-to-apples comparison as to, we may be behind at this point in time in terms of our ability to maintain and operate, but over the long term, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right deal? Is this the best thing for the people of the state? That's what we struggle with a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. And I don't hear the level of complaint about our acquisitions. It's our ability to maintain what we acquire.
Thank you very much. If that concludes your presentation,
it does.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are on agenda.